Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Web Sleuth Radio. I need to read you something that David Lohr wrote on the Huffington Post. David writes, Dave Holloway, father of missing Alabama teen Natalie Holloway, said on national television this week that he found human bones in Aruba, where his daughter vanished a dozen years ago, and submitted them for DNA testing. The announcement came just 3 days before the Saturday premiere of a new TV series featuring Dave Holloway and private investigator T.J. Ward. But Holloway's claim is questionable. Aruba public prosecutor Doreen Cardall told the Huffington Post on Friday that no human remains were found in the area, Holloway pointed out. Quote, investigation by police in an area indicated by Mr. Holloway, we found remains, but they were found to be from animals, Cardall said, end quote. Welcome to Web Sleuth Radio, everyone. Bessie is our producer doing all the heavy lifting, and tonight we have with us the man who will hopefully be able to untangle this tangled information about Natalie. Levi Page, welcome to Web Sleuth Radio.
Hi, Tricia. Thanks for having me on.
Before we get into all of this with Dave Holloway and the remains, let's give a little background for those in the Taliban who have lived in a cave the past 12 years. Natalie Holloway, 18, from Mountain Brook, Alabama. She disappeared on May 30th, 2005. She was on a trip to Aruba to celebrate her high school graduation. Her body has never been found. And Levi, we're going to start talking about one of your favorite people in the whole world, Joran van der Sloot. I can just feel your blood pressure just spurt through your eyeballs when that name comes up. He's the prime suspect. Basically, everybody thinks he did it. Tell us about Joran, where he is at now, and does he have anything to do with all of this that's going on?
He does have a lot to do with it, but Joran van der Sloot is Dutch, and he is the last person to see Natalie Holloway alive, and he is serving 28 years in prison in Peru after he brutally strangled and beat to death a young woman there in her 20s, Stephanie Flores. He was at a casino with her. They were gambling. Afterwards, they went to her hotel room, and she was on her computer, and she Googled his name and discovered that this is Joran van der Sloot, the last person to see Natalie Holloway alive, and she confronted him about it, and Joran says that he went off the handle, blew his lid, lost control of himself, was angry, so he beat her and strangled her to death. Now, some people say that that's what he says, but others say that he probably wanted to have sex with her. She denied him, and then that's when he killed her. But he is currently serving 28 years in prison. And here's the scary part, Tricia. He's a father. Everybody kept saying when he was in prison that he was going to be roughing it in Peru, that these prisons are, you know, very hard for someone like van der Sloot. He wasn't going to be able to withstand being in such rough conditions. Well, here's how rough it is. He made friends with some of the guards, some of the inmates, and he was allowed to have conjugal visits. And he had a conjugal visit with the sister of a fellow inmate of his, and she got pregnant. And 5 months into her pregnancy, he married her.
Dear Jesus, what is wrong with these women?
So he is a father and a husband now.
Oh, dear God Almighty. He spread his seed. That's just disgusting. His line needs to be shut down right now. So I think everybody can remember the search for Natalie. There were, you know, programs every single night about Natalie Holloway and the search for Natalie. She has never been found. And we all got to know Beth Holloway. She was on television a lot. Everybody, our hearts broke for Beth. But somebody that wasn't on TV as much was Natalie's father, Dave Holloway. Now, they were divorced, if I remember correctly. When did they divorce? Do you know, Levi?
I don't know the exact date. I know that Dave Holloway is from Mississippi, and so it was Natalie and Beth. But then Beth and Dave split, and Natalie moved to the very upscale town of Mountain Brook, Alabama, where she attended high school. And so I think it was in her high school years when she moved. And she graduated. She graduated with honors. She was at the top of her class. She got a full scholarship to the University of Alabama, which shows how smart she was. She was going to major in pre-med. She had plans to become a doctor, and all of that was wiped away on May 30th, the last time she was seen, getting into a car in Aruba after partying and drinking at a bar called Carlos and Charlie's. She got into a car belonging to two brothers, Deepak and Satish Kalpo. And Euron was in the car, and that was the last time that she was seen. And if you all remember, Euron Vandersloot has told so many stories, and so have his cohorts, Deepak and Satish. Euron was 17 at the time. Deepak was 21, I believe, and Satish was 18 years old in 2005 when Natalie vanished. And Euron's initial story was Natalie got into the car with them, and she wanted to go see sharks. So they took her to this beach where there was a lighthouse. They were going to show her sharks. And then after that, they were on the beach for a while. Then they claimed that they drove her back to her hotel, the Holiday Inn, there in Aruba. But here's the problem with that first story that Euron and the Kalpo brothers told. They had security footage at that hotel, the Holiday Inn, and the footage was in the lobby, and it never showed Natalie Holloway entering the lobby of that hotel. It never showed Natalie Holloway even in the entrance area of that hotel. And here's the disgusting part about this. Euron, Deepak, and Satish said that they saw a black guy wearing a security guard uniform walk up to Natalie, and that was the last they saw of her, and they left. And there were two security guards that were arrested, and these two security guards were accused by Euron and Deepak and Satish, and
that's disgusting.
They were falsely accused, and it was based on what Euron, Deepak, and Satish said. And one of the security guards was in jail in Aruba with the Kalpo brothers, and they both apologized for pointing the finger at these two men who were innocent. So we have them telling a story that doesn't make any sense, and we also have the three of them, the three musketeers of Aruba,
yes,
of what they were referred to, falsely accusing two people. And then they changed their story yet again. Euron says that he was not the last person to see Natalie alive, that it was Deepak and Satish, that Deepak and Satish dropped Euron off at his parents' home, and that was the last time he saw her. And then he recanted that story. He says, okay, I lied. And his reasoning was that Deepak and Satish were starting to turn on him, so he lied about them to get back at them. And Deepak and Satish changed their story, saying that they did not drop Natalie off at the hotel, that they dropped Natalie and Euron off at the beach, left them there, and drove off. And then Euron seems to confirm that story. He says, that's true. They dropped me off and Natalie at a beach at approximately 1:30 a.m. And at 3 o'clock a.m., he called Deepak and Satish to come pick him up, that Natalie wanted to stay there on the beach, and he left.
And if
that
were true, were true, they would have told that story in the very beginning, but it's not true. It's obvious what happened. Has he ever admitted to killing her? I think he has, but it was like some weird recorded interview or something. Has he ever actually admitted to the authorities, yeah, I did something?
Well, here's the strange part about this. I think it was 2008, there was a Dutch reporter, Peter de Vries.
Right, that's what I'm thinking of.
Who found a man that was friendly with Euron in Holland, because Euron fled Aruba to Holland, and he apparently confessed to this drug dealer in Holland that Natalie Holloway was drunk, that she was convulsing, that she was foaming at the mouth, and that he panicked and took her body out in a boat and threw it overboard, he and a friend. And then later on, he took it all back. He says, no, that's not what happened. I was high on pot and I was just babbling. That's not what happened.
Oh, Jesus.
And he reverted back to his story that he and Natalie were alone at the beach and that he left her there, and Deepak and Satish picked him up and took him back home. So you can see the tangled web that Euron has weaved with all of his lies. And by the way, that was in 2008. And he also told another story in 2008 as well. He gave an interview to Greta Van Susteren on the Fox News Channel and said that he sold Natalie Holloway into sex slavery, human trafficking, to two Aruba cops, and they sold Natalie into a human trafficking ring in Venezuela. And then he later recanted that and said he was lying about that. So this is the stories that he told. And then finally,
so we
just catch everybody up 2 years later in 2010. He moved back to Aruba, and this is why he moved back to Aruba. He was in Holland, and he stayed there in Holland for a while, and then he moved to Thailand. And this was around 2009. He moved to Thailand, and he was under investigation in Thailand for human trafficking. What he was doing there was he was working with a, and I say this in quotes, modeling agency, which was
really
a prostitution ring, and they were taking exotic dancers and then selling them to human traffickers, and they were making a lot of money.
Dear God.
So he was doing that in Thailand, and apparently he was caught on tape in Thailand with some of these women, and some of these women went up missing, these exotic dancers that he was selling into sex slavery. They went missing, and he was under investigation. So he fled Thailand to Peru. And while he was in Peru, that's when he assaulted a young woman at a casino. Not Stephanie Flores that he killed, but another young woman. And
this guy's just a monster.
Yes. So then he went back to Thailand after he assaulted another woman. He went back to Thailand, and then he started gambling. He was really making a lot of money gambling. And went back to Peru. I guess that investigation about him assaulting a woman died down. So he went back to Peru, and that's when he murdered Stephanie Flores. And he killed Stephanie Flores, and remember, he went on the run. And he went back home to Aruba, and that's when he tried to extort Natalie Holloway's mother, Beth Holloway. Do you remember that?
I'd forgotten. You're right.
Yes. This is what a sadistic son of a you-know-what he is. He told Beth that if he would give her the location of her daughter's body if she would pay him $250,000. And he was indicted in the United States for that. He was indicted in the United States for that crime. And he murdered Stephanie. Now he's serving 28 years. And when that sentence is over, he can be extradited back here to the United States.
Oh, let's hope they do that. Let's hope and pray they do that. They should.
Because
they really
he will
should.
Be out one day. 28 years. He's in his 20s. He's going to be middle-aged, but he's going to be out one day.
And he'll kill again, people. This is just what he does. He's just a monster. Don't be surprised.
And what I forgot, Trisha, and I'm sorry for babbling.
Yeah.
There's just so much going on in this case. Also in 2005, remember, it was a couple of weeks after Natalie Holloway went missing, and there was a 16-year-old girl there in Aruba that accused him of raping her. She
That's
said that
right.
she was at a party with him, and she was drinking, and she woke up and realized that she'd been raped, and she discovered photographs of her naked body on the internet. People were posting them on the internet, she said. And she went to police, and Euron was arrested along with a man that allegedly photographed her naked body. And the young man, I think he was 21 years old, I forgot his name, it was a Dutch-sounding name, he was questioned, and he apparently gave, very early on in the investigation, gave Euron a false alibi, lied for him. So this is the type of person Euron is. He was known in Aruba as a playboy at 17 years old, and he victimized women all throughout his life. Natalie Holloway in 2005, a young woman in Peru, selling exotic dancers into sex slavery, and Stephanie Flores, he beat her and strangled her. So this guy is sick. He's a sicko and a psychopath, and he victimized Beth.
Exactly, victimized the mother of the young lady that he also murdered. And again, people, when he gets out, and like Levi said, we're talking with Levi Page, by the way, about the Natalie Holloway case, and when he gets out, he will kill again. He's shown us who he is. He's made it very clear that he has no morals or any sort of compassion. He is not a human being. He is a monster. He is a killing, raping machine. That is what Euron's parents have. They created this baby, and he grew up to just be this horrid mechanism of murder and rape. He needs to be stopped, and at the very least, the United States needs to extradite him as soon as he's able to walk free out of his other prison. Okay, now let's fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dave Holloway, and I just started a few days ago. I just started reading the headlines. I'm like, oh my God, they found human remains, but it's all convoluted. The piece that I read at the beginning by David Lohr said that, hey, the authorities in Aruba say no. People are saying there can't be remains found because you can't just bring them into the U.S. Why didn't they call the FBI? Why didn't they call Beth? I mean, there's all these questions. Let's talk about these remains, how this came about, and what's going on. And Levi Page, you are the only guy I know who can put this all together for us.
Okay, so this is convoluted like everything in this case. So we have Dave Holloway and his private investigator, T.J. Ward, and this Saturday, last night, there was a TV series that premiered called The Disappearance of Natalie Holloway that is currently airing on Oxygen, and it is a six-part series that will document this new information that T.J. Ward and Dave Holloway have stumbled upon. And here's what it is. There is a young man who has an aunt that lives in Aruba. His name is John Ludwig, and he is from Florida, and he lived in Virginia, but he moved to Aruba, and he became friendly with Euron, and this was in 2010. And I don't know if you remember the episode of Nancy Grace. Nancy Grace was covering Euron Vandersloot when he was arrested for killing Stephanie Flores, and she had John Ludwig on as a guest, and he defended Stephanie Flores. He basically said that Stephanie Flores deserved what she got. She deserved the beating. Euron is the victim. And as usual, Nancy Grace flipped out on this guy, cut his mic, and kicked him off the show.
Good for her. That's one time I agree that she needed to do that. What a jerk.
And this guy apparently, and Dave Holloway's investigator, T.J. Ward, has confirmed this, was in Aruba in 2010 when Euron Vandersloot approached him and said, I think that they're close to finding Natalie's body. We need to get rid of the body. So according to John Ludwig, he and Euron went and dug up the body of Natalie. It was in a forest area. It's not a forest like you would think in a tropical area like Florida or somewhere tropical. In Aruba, it is tropical. There are palm trees, but it's also very desert-like, and there's a lot of cactuses and sand. And they dug up the body, and John Ludwig says that he and Euron had the body cremated. How they did that is because Euron had a connection that worked at a morgue, and they cremated Natalie's body, and they threw the ashes into the ocean. And apparently John Ludwig told this to an Aruban man named Gabriel. And if you watched the show last night on Oxygen, Gabriel participated and was interviewed by Dave Holloway and his investigator, T.J. Ward. So Gabriel recounted all of this information to Natalie's father, Dave, and his investigator, T.J. Ward. And John Ludwig also participates in this show and basically confesses that he did get rid of the body. And apparently he was strapped up to, he was not strapped up like a polygraph, but T.J. Ward does voice stress analysis. And the voice stress analysis, according to T.J. Ward, shows that John Ludwig was telling the truth, that he did get rid of this body. So apparently, and apparently we're going to see this play out on the Oxygen series, they went to this place where Natalie was allegedly buried, and they did find a bone. And according to Dave and his investigator, the bone is human. They've confirmed it was human. They even say that they have a lab report confirming that this bone was human. Now, we don't know where this lab is, the name of this lab. People are skeptical, saying this is all for television. And the Aruban police have stated that this was animal bones, and that if this was human bones, that they could be in legal trouble. So that's where we're at now.
I would think so. And Cheryl McCollum from the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute questions this as well. And I put a lot of stock in what she has to say. Again, if you find a bone, don't you call the authorities and say, here, test it, or at least the FBI? You know, I don't know. It sounds fishy, and I will apologize for my hesitancy. If it turns out to be just a human bone, doesn't even need to be Natalie's, just a human bone, I will apologize up and down. But you know Dave Holloway. I mean, you're not friends with him, but what do you think? Is he the type of guy
to do something like this? Well, I don't see Dave Holloway fabricating something. Because I remember when camera crews were following Dave Holloway and Tim Miller from Texas EquiSearch, and Dave Holloway was literally in tears on his hands and knees going through dirt and mud and all sorts of stuff looking for his daughter. And I remember seeing that, and I just don't think that he would fabricate this. And maybe it is human, and maybe it's not Natalie Holloway's remains. I don't know. But my guess would be maybe Holloway and his investigator, T.J. Ward, do not trust the Aruban authorities. Maybe that's why they didn't contact the Aruban authorities. I don't know, and I don't want to get inside their mind. I don't want to speak for them or their actions. Only they can answer this allegation from the Aruban prosecutors. But what I do know is that they probably do have reason to not trust the legal system there in Aruba, because Euron Vandersloot's father, Paulus, who has since passed away, was a judge there in Aruba, and he's very infamous in this case because very early in the case, when Natalie Holloway went missing, he was quoted as saying, "No body, no case." Now,
yeah,
who does that?
I remember.
When someone is missing, we don't know where they are, and you're out there saying, "No body, no case." That's talking like somebody that knows that this is a murder case, that knows Natalie Holloway was killed, and knows that if there's not a body, that they won't be able to make a case against your son.
I think he immediately knew that his son did it, that his son was a monster.
And
that's
by
why,
the way, what I left out in that whole story of Natalie being buried in this forest area is that John Ludwig and Gabriel say that Euron said that his father helped him put Natalie's remains there, that they stuffed her in a burlap sack, a bag, and that they even had, that Paulus even had trouble getting Natalie in it, so he pushed her in there and they could hear her bones cracking, according to Euron.
Good God. What
so
a monster.
Has since been implicated in helping his son as an accessory after the fact, party to a crime.
So do we know, is the bone they have found that they say they have tested, is it in the U.S. now, or is it still overseas somewhere?
I don't know if it's in the United States. I don't know where it is. I don't know what lab it is. They've not given those details out.
Because I do know they can get in a lot of trouble for bringing human remains back in without going through customs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's not like something you can just stuff in your carry-on. This is a tough one. Has Beth Holloway commented on any of this?
No.
No, I find her silence very interesting as well. I hope I'm not talking out of school here, Levi, but didn't you talk to somebody directly involved?
I talked to John Ludwig on Facebook, and let me tell
you
about...
Let's hear about that.
Yeah, excuse my language, but this guy's a dirtbag. He is the person that allegedly helped Euron get rid of these remains 5 years after Euron disposed of Natalie's body.
Mm-hmm.
So I read a news article, and I said, John Ludwig is the person that helped Euron. I said, that name sounds so familiar. So I Googled it, and as soon as I Googled it, the video popped up on YouTube of his appearance on Nancy Grey saying grotesque things about Stephanie
mm-hmm.
Flores and blaming her for her own murder. So I went on Facebook and I said, I'm going to find this guy on Facebook and I want to see if he'll be a guest on my podcast. So I reached
mm-hmm.
out to him on Facebook and he basically said that he did help Euron. He's guilty of all this stuff and he refused to come on my show unless I paid him. And I told him he can take a hike. I'm not paying a piece of shit like him.
How much did he ask for, do you know?
He didn't get in. He just said that he's not doing it without compensation. Yeah.
God,
I'm not paying him. Yes, he's.
I would pay somebody that's interesting, but not him.
No.
Not him.
And here, especially if he helped dispose of a body, you do not need to earn 1 cent. You are disgusting and filthy. And even if he didn't, even if he's just making all of this up for the attention, he's still sick to do that if he's like a John Mark Carr. And even
mm-hmm.
if he was sick even before that when he went on television to defend Euron, knowing that Euron beat a woman to a pulp. So
God almighty.
In this series, you will see Ludwig, and he is taped by his roommate, Gabriel, who gave all this information to Dave and his investigator. So he tapes him in where they're living in Aruba, and it shows Ludwig years later, like, rewatching his television appearances on TV.
Uh-huh.
Like he's famous, like he's, you know, Brad Pitt or John Travolta. And
like he's
like
reliving
his basking
day
in the glory.
Sun.
Yes, and it was just really bizarre and really sick, and you can tell that he has this, like, adoration for Euron that is just really misplaced and really weird. So this guy is a real creep. And he says horrible things about Stephanie Flores. He calls her a bitch, basically.
Oh,
said
my God.
She got what she deserved. So this guy's horrible. And he's just really bad, Tricia, and I asked him if all this was true, and he said yes, and he told me that he was actually interviewed by the investigators there in Aruba, but that they wanted a written statement from him, a formal written statement, and he refused to give them a written statement unless they granted him immunity.
Mm. What's in the water that is producing these type of monsters? I'm telling you.
I have no idea.
Honest to God. Have we ever heard from Euron's mother? I know his father collapsed playing tennis, and he was quite young. But the last thing I ever remember about her was she was defending her son. And I just wonder what she thinks now.
I think her name was Anita Vandersloot, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And she has not commented in years. She has not.
And he didn't have any brothers or sisters, did he?
I don't think
so.
I think he was an only child. If I remember correctly, I think he was an only child.
Please, God, let him be the only one.
Before Natalie went missing, he was actually scheduled to go to some university in Miami to play soccer. He got a scholarship. Apparently, he was really, really smart. But then when Natalie went missing, that fell through. Because this was an international story and scandal. I don't know if you remember, but back in 2005, it was all over television, not only here in the United States, but it was on television in Aruba. And people in Aruba actually were so outraged that this happened that they misplaced their anger at Beth Holloway, Natalie's mom, and Nancy Grace for covering this. Because they thought that it would affect their tourism, and it did affect their tourism. But I remember people were protesting there in Aruba, and they were like burning effigies of Nancy Grace.
Oh my God!
At the time, yes.
Oh,
they were extremely upset that this was on the news, and a lot of people say that Aruba would cover this up because of tourism. And because of Paulus and his connections there, I think that Paulus, there was someone on the police force in Aruba that was like the godfather of Euron. And I think he stepped down, like he had nothing to do with this investigation. But that shows you that Paulus, Euron's father, had connections there in Aruba. And, you know, you said at the beginning of the show, and you're absolutely correct, anybody knows this, Euron is the prime suspect, but legally there in Aruba, he's not. He's been cleared.
Really?
Euron and the Calpo brothers, a judge, cleared them, saying that there was not enough evidence, and closed the case in 2007.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, a judge did.
And,
Because remember, remember in Aruba, when this case first broke, from 2005 to like 2007, for 2 years straight, Euron and the Calpo brothers, they would be arrested and they'd be in prison for a couple of months, a couple of weeks, a couple of days, and they'd be released. And it was like every so often,
breaking
news on Nancy Grace. They've been rearrested. They've been released. They've been rearrested. They've been released.
Right.
It was like catch and release, because in Aruba, they have, they can arrest you on suspicion, and they can arrest you and hold you without charging you. And that was happening in Aruba. But then in 2007, they attempted to arrest them again, and a judge put a stop to it and said that this is a closed case, and these three, Euron and the Calpo brothers, can no longer be considered suspects, and close the case. And then a year later in 2008, when that video recording of Euron giving the so-called confession, prosecutors reopened the case, took it back to a judge, tried to get Euron arrested, and then the judge said nope, and then closed it again.
That's corrupt. I'm sorry. That's
so a lot of people
think
that this legal system failed Natalie Holloway, and prosecutors objected in 2007 to closing the Natalie Holloway case, and their reasoning was that they had evidence of Euron and the Calpo brothers, all three of them, participating in an online chat room, and basically from the conversation the three of them were having, prosecutors were able to determine that they knew Natalie was dead. They were talking of her as if she was dead and that they knew what happened to her.
Right.
But the judge, not only that, but they were talking about her being dead. And the judge still said that's not enough evidence and closed the case.
Mm-hmm.
But prosecutors objected.
That's just terrible. Well, at the very least, we can breathe a sigh of relief that he is in prison for a little bit anyway. I do have a question for you. A listener wants to know, what do you believe? What do you believe happened to Natalie? Which story do you think is the real truth? If you had to guess.
Well, I would say that it would probably be a date rape situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember that 16-year-old says that she thought that her drink was spiked. And I think that
that's
that probably could have happened to Natalie Holloway. I think that the convulsing and the foaming at the mouth, the puking, the choking on her own vomit, like Euron says,
mm-hmm.
I think that very well could be true. But it happened because he drugged her and was planning on raping her. I don't know Aruban law, but here in the United States, that would still be treated as murder because rape
mm-hmm.
is a felony, drugging someone is a felony, and any death that occurs while a felony
during
is being
crime.
Committed is a
right.
murder.
A murder.
So I don't know
exactly.
if it's still a murder in Aruba, but here in the U.S. it would be, and I do think that there's some truth to that.
Absolutely, there is.
But I don't think she just started
okay.
puking out of nowhere and just died.
Right.
I think he probably spiked her drink.
That
apparently
sounds,
he
that,
was known for doing that, had a reputation for that.
Well, and that would make a lot of sense. Spike the drink, she gets sick, has a convulsion, dies. That makes perfect sense. You know, and if he would have just said, she choked and died, I think this all would have probably gone away. But
Until they did an actual toxicology report,
then he'd be in big trouble. It is just convoluted, and your heart breaks for the Holloway family. They've been through hell and back, and the fact that he is alive and breathing, they will always be reminded of this horrible hell that Jorn Vander scumbag put them through, and it's unfair, it's wrong, and it just makes me absolutely crazy. So where do we stand now? So do we know for a fact that this TV show on Oxygen with Dave Holloway, that it's going to reveal everything about the bone they claim they have? What do we know is going to happen in the future?
I guess we're gonna have to wait and see. I guess we're going to have to wait and see. But the show airs Saturdays. Saturday nights on Oxygen. Oxygen has rebranded to a true crime channel, and they are the channel that is airing this series that is going to be going on for the next 6 weeks.
Mm,
so we're going to
okay.
have to wait and see. It's going to be interesting to see the final results of these bones. And what I can understand why people are skeptical, and I am
mm-hmm.
skeptical of this as well. But what really makes it hard to believe that this is just all a big old fraud is I don't see Dave Holloway and his investigator. T.J. Ward is an investigator. He's based out of Atlanta, Georgia. He worked on the Natalie Holloway case. He also went and worked on the Haley Cummings case. Remember, he is the person that put Misty Crossland under the voice stress test.
That's right. Okay, right.
Yeah, I've interviewed him before. So this is a person that's high profile. He's very renowned. And I just don't see them putting their reputation on the line and Dave Holloway committing this huge fraud. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just don't see it happening because at the end, if it is a fraud, they're going to have egg on their faces. And I just don't see them doing that for the sake of a television show. I think they probably did find a bone. It probably is human. But is it Natalie Holloway's? I don't know.
Right. We don't know. I guess that's the whole point of this TV show, too, is to, let's face it, they want to get ratings, and boy, this will get ratings. But I see what you
but
say about Dave.
But I think it would have gotten ratings regardless.
That's true.
I think it would have gotten ratings regardless because this is a very high-profile case. People have been following this case for 12 years, over a decade, and I think it would have gotten ratings. Would they need to pull a stunt like this to get people to watch? I don't think so. But
mm-hmm.
if it is, that's horrible. If it is a stunt, that's horrible. But I just don't
right.
see it.
After listening to your explanation, I'm a little more doubtful now that it is a
I mean, if you were an
investigator,
you had this great I mean, if you were an investigator, you had this great reputation, would you put that on the line for a TV show?
No, absolutely not.
I don't know.
Not even close. So we'll just have to wait and see. Levi, what else is going on in your life? Do you have any other interesting tidbits you want to share with us?
So my podcast, Crime and Scandal, is doing really well, and I just uploaded an episode on the Natalie Holloway case, and I go back from 2005 and document Euron's arrest and rearrest, the Calpo brothers, and what they say, and I interview criminal profiler Pat Brown about the latest developments, and she actually has met the man that is at the center of this, John Ludwig, that actually helped Euron allegedly get rid of Natalie's body. She was on the same episode of the Nancy Grace show that John Ludwig was on, and they had a run-in in the green room that left her with a very nasty taste in her mouth regarding this guy. So Pat's going to be on. She's going to give her thoughts. She's also very skeptical of this, and we talk about the Holloway case, and I'm going to be doing more episodes. I'm going to be tackling Kyron Horman, the missing child in Oregon, and also doing an episode on Sherry Papini. Remember, she is the beautiful blonde.
Yeah, what's going on with her?
Well, she's a beautiful blonde California woman. She went missing, and then she was found on the side of the interstate. She was covered in bruises, beat up, and her hair was chopped off. And she claims that two females that were Hispanic abducted her and then released, and then she somehow got free. And many people are wondering, was this a stunt? Was she faking this?
Right.
And we're going to, I'm going to do an episode on that. And what's interesting is, and I don't have the quote right in front of me, so I'm paraphrasing, is the sheriff of that town where Sherry Papini was allegedly abducted gave a press conference a couple of months ago, or not a press conference, but a statement. And he said that there's no reason for anyone in the area to be worried.
Right, and that usually indicates, okay, this is an inside job. But if I'm not mistaken, this same sheriff said that Sherry Papini was telling the truth. I mean, he came out very strong.
Yes.
In stating she was telling the truth, that there's, you know, I'm totally paraphrasing here, no reason to doubt her, and they're continuing the investigation. And so I don't know. When a sheriff comes out and makes a statement that strong, I tend to think that the story is true, that the victim is telling the truth. But you counter that with nobody has anything to worry about. What do you mean? This woman was just yanked out of her, you know, she was jogging and got taken. What do you mean we have nothing to worry about? That really gives me pause. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I know a lot of people who just think flat out Sherry Papini made it up. That's all there was to it. I'm much more cautious just because of what the sheriff said. So I'll be interested to listen to that show, Levi. Be sure and let us know, and we'll make sure everybody
also
knows where to listen
just
to.
Just an FYI, Sherry Papini's family members have called the police on her between 2000 and 2003. And apparently she has a history of fabricating things, Sherry Papini, which is why a lot of people don't believe her.
Okay, there you go.
Yes,
gosh, what
very tumultuous relationship with her family, has a history of making things up, and a lot of people doubt her story. But on the other hand, a lot of people are saying, how did she get all of those bruises, and what would her motivation be for making this up and victimizing herself in this way? So it's a really weird, fascinating case. And if she was really abducted, can you think about the hell she's going through to have people doubt her story?
Exactly. I mean, it's just like the boy who
cried. So many layers to that case.
There is so many layers. And like you said, if she really was kidnapped, and everybody, a lot of people are doubting her now, and it's because of what she did in the past, and that's on her. That's on her, nobody else. And if you're part of her family and have been through that with her, I can certainly see why some of them wouldn't stand behind her.
Well, her own mother, this is really big, says that Sherry Papini would harm herself and call the police and blame her mother, saying that her mother did this to her.
That's pretty twisted. That's really twisted.
That
you know, Levi, there are so many twisted, weird people out there. We will always be busy and always have work to do. So we'll never have a boring moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, so
Levi Page,
everybody listening,
go ahead.
If you could just go on iTunes and search Crime and Scandal and subscribe, that do that, because I have an episode on Natalie Holloway that's out tonight, and we'll do an episode on Sherry Papini in the future. And please, it'll do me a huge favor if you leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes or your Apple Podcast app. And if you don't have an Apple device, just go to Facebook.com/CrimeScandalPod. That's one word, Crime Scandal Pod. That's the Facebook page, and there's a link on there that you can listen to the show as well.
Wonderful. Crime and Scandal, Levi Page. We're with you, buddy. We'll help you any way we can.
Thanks,
thank
Trisha.
You for coming on on Web Sleuth Radio tonight. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Always.
Take care now. Bye-bye now. Miss Bessie, are you there? Hello.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep.
Ah, there you are. Boy,
wasn't
that fascinating? That was fantastic.
That was fascinating. That was a lot of information and you know, that I didn't know. Well, I knew all of the information from the early days, from 2005 and up until Bjorn went into prison, and then after that I kind of lost track. But this latest thing, boy, now I'm going to be watching that that show on Oxygen, even if I have to DVR it or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, that just sounds absolutely fascinating. So,
yeah,
and, you know, we'll work on getting Dave Holloway on, but I don't know if we can. Anyway, I'm sorry, Bessie, what?
No, I was just going to say, I mean, there's nothing that I'd like more than to see him, Bjorn, get what's coming to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would make me so happy, because this has been a long time. And I remember it very, very well when it happened. And it's been a long time. It's 12 years. I remember because that was the year Katrina. So I know it was 12 years ago. And I watched it all, and it was just, I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to believe. It was so crazy and so convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
All the different stories. You know, Kopach brothers had one story, and Bjorn had another story, and then they had a story they put together. It was like, what did y'all do? That poor
what the
girl.
Heck's
and
going
the
on?
And the fact that, and this was something I do remember really well, is that the Aruban police and the press really tried to suppress the story.
That's
and
right. They
it was,
did.
It was hard to get anybody, you know, Nancy Grace or I think Greta Van Susteren covered the story. And whoever was covering it had a really hard time getting the press or the police to talk about it. And there was one man, I think he was the editor of a newspaper, and he was about the only one that they would come out and talk about it. And,
right.
That just made things so much worse. And they would never really reveal the status of the situation. So I know for Natalie's family, that had to be just grueling.
Oh,
I mean, if a woman is murdered or a man is murdered and there's a strong suspect, I mean, you hear all about that person. It's no secret, but they really did want to cover it up because they were worried about tourism. And like Levi said, from what I understand, it really did hurt their tourism. And that's a good thing. Maybe if they had been more honest and open, it wouldn't have. I don't know.
Maybe it taught them a lesson, hopefully, but... Yeah, it's just crazy. This Natalie Holloway case from the very beginning has just been frustrating for the readers like us. You can only imagine the living daily hell. Every minute must seem hellacious to this family.
Yeah.
And our hearts break for the Holloways, and we just hope and pray that there is some sort of news so they can find out for certain what happened to their daughter. And let's keep our eye on urine, because we don't want that guy getting out and heading over here. That's for sure. I think he needs to be extradited for his attempted extortion of Beth Holloway. Let's hope that happens, for God's sake. But anyway, hey, Bessie, thank you for all your help tonight. We'll be back next week. And I think that's it. Any closing words, Miss Bessie?
No, that's about it. I'll just Say a prayer that the truth does come out.
There you go. That's a great way to end it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today on Web Sleuths Radio. Thank you to Levi Page. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. It's Web Sleuths Radio. Bye-bye.
Good night.